All right. Please get your Bible. Turn to Psalm 116 with me. If you would, turn to Psalm 116. And we'll look at a psalm today to begin with. A truth out of several of the psalms. And of course, a truth that's all the way through the Bible. Let's read a verse or two, Psalm 116. And then we will give a little introduction to this thought. It's a devotional thought, but it's also a lifetime thought. Psalm 116:1 says, "I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications, because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live." I have heard people who were so spiritual that they said that you shouldn't need any reason to know because I love the Lord. Well, we love him because 1 John says he first loved us. Of course, there's a because. And when we think of this phrase, look to the left a little bit, Psalm 52. There's several of these things. I can remember on one of my Sunday school bus routes doing a little series on we because he. And I would take each week and add something. And there he said, "I love the Lord because," okay? Psalm 52, verse 9, "I will praise thee forever because thou hast done it, and I will wait on thy name, for it is good before thy saints." Look to the left a little more, Psalm 13. And the idea is, the series was we because he. In other words, we love him because, and we pray because he hears, and we read because he gave the word, and we give because he gave, etc. And that's not going to be the direct subject today. But Psalm 13, verse 6, "I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me." And I want to talk to you about your causes. Your causes. There's different ways to look at that word, and we will over the next few minutes. I know a fella, he went on a mission trip, teaching, preaching, all that kind of stuff. And the very first day, he got injured. I mean, really injured. Ended up, by the time he got back stateside, and they diagnosed him at 3 fractures and a high tear on the outside of his leg, a tendon and stuff. And so it was, I mean, it happened the very first day, and it was 2 weeks of pain. But it also was 2 weeks of, you know, teaching and preaching and the pleasure of ministering unto others in the name of the Lord. And he said that when he returned, the trip was delayed coming back, very long trip, and he had a little bit of upper respiratory trouble, and leg is injured, he's in the middle of pain, and he'd gotten back, and he was up in the middle of the night, you know, trying to deal with all of it, and he said a thought came to him, a phrase. It said, "For this cause, for this cause." Now, we know that primary thing, that "for this cause," goes all the way back to Genesis. Because the Lord Jesus Christ said, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife." Okay? For this cause. And we, in life, have different things that cause different things. For example, there in Genesis 3, when the Lord came seeking Abraham, Adam, Adam said, "Because I was naked." And the Lord said, "What?" He said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid. Because I was naked, I hid myself." Because the Lord said, "Where are you, Adam?" But it went back, and he said, "Because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "I was afraid because I was naked." He wasn't aware of that before. The knowledge of good and evil had entered in, and so now his conscience was different, and the thoughts he could have were different. And, of course, we know that's the fallen nature. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "For this cause shall man leave father and mother." And it's important for us to know what the causes of things are. And we're going to talk about it perhaps from a little different angle. I'll give you an example. All the way over in Ephesians 5, the Apostle Paul said, verse 31, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife. They two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." So there are some things that happen because of, for this cause. And as that fellow was thinking about the trip and all, and he's like, you know, if we get the idea correct, right, because he's answered, I love him, because of this I sing, because of this I can rejoice in all the so-called negativity that happened, because of. Now, that is not to say that you've got to know the answers. When my baby brother was killed, right there in California, in front of the church where Dad was pastoring at the time, and they, you know, my closest brother's gone to be with the Lord, mother and dad are gone to be with the Lord. When that happened, for my mother, at the very time, it was so important that she felt like it was so important that somebody would say, get saved at Jimmy's funeral. And I'll be honest with you, that wasn't in my mind. Now, people did, and I knew God would use it to have an effect. But if we are not careful, we get our causes ahead of the Lord, and we look for things. To do something because of is because by the cause of or on the account of something. In dictionary definition, it's for the reason next explained. For example, he said, I was afraid because I was naked. He said, my fear came from the knowledge of good and evil. When you have a cause, for this cause shall a man leave, etc. It's that which produces an effect. Now, as eternity becomes more real to the individual believer, this life itself becomes less meaningful by itself. Hence, we need a connection, okay, between the deeds of the day and eternity. We need to, the more heaven is real to you, I confess to you, it's more real to me than what I can see and touch and feel. I've got loved ones over there. I've sent everything I know on ahead. We lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. Why? Because it's so real. I think a person, I'll be honest with you, should forget all this stuff about building and motivating your life on passion and energy and that sort of thing. Most of life is not exciting. Most of life is not passionate. But if you have the right cause, the right things that make things happen, you will personally do the things you ought to do. Listen, you will choose passion over your duty if you live by passion. You will neglect the necessary to do what you're passionate about. Now you say, should you not do it hardly? Hardly is not passion. Hardly is saying, I will put my heart into it. And I believe one of the curses of this modern day, 2024, is all this stuff about find out what you're passionate about and do it. Do you know what the people who are reality people, you know what the people who are boots on the ground and training people how to have their jobs, they say, find what you're good at and learn to love it. All this stuff about passion is a counterfeit. It is an absolute counterfeit that says, run by how you feel, run by what turns you on. And the same, very same people will neglect duty to do what they're passionate about. The disciplined Christian life is not the result of personal passion, but of a disciplined life led by the Word of God and fueled by the Holy Ghost. And there is a difference. Now, I don't want to make this a lengthy time with us today, so I'm going to limit it to three thoughts. And the first one is this. Choose your causes carefully. Choose your causes carefully. In other words, the things that motivate you. The things that you do something, why? I'll give you an example. The reason you should pursue your spouse daily from the time you get married to the day you die is what? For this cause. Because God said so. You say, well, you've got to keep the passion in. You know something? What you've got to keep is your heart in it and keep thy heart, he said, with all diligence. Choose your causes. Choose the things. Okay, now I know you remember 1 Samuel 17:29. In 1 Samuel 17, David is obeying his dad. He's delivering a care package, as we would call it, to the battlefield and to the soldiers who are standing by, engaged in battle. And he sees Goliath defile and defame the Lord God and Israel. And he speaks up, and his brother comes and says, "Oh, you got a bad heart about this, David." Well, now David did not have a bad heart about it. So every time you hear somebody accuse somebody of, you know, whose heart is set on something, slow down a little bit. Be careful. He accuses him, and David said, 1 Samuel 17:29, "Is there not a cause?" Now, you can get a wrong cause going. Israel had the wrong cause when they risked the Ark of God and sent it into battle. They said, "It will save us, and it will do this." And there's no "it" that God ever ordained that's going to save you. There is no "it." It's God who does it. It is God. Pharaoh became a cause. He said in Exodus 9, the Lord said, Exodus 9:16, "For this cause." In other words, because of Pharaoh, because of Pharaoh's hardened heart, you can become a cause in God's eyes and cause God to put a knot on your head or worse. Now, we are meant to need a cause. We are. Humans need a cause to have meaningful life. We do. But here's the question to you today. For example, how much does sports cause your choices? They had the Freeze Bowl playoff thingy, football thingy, a little while ago, a few months ago, and then they came out with those people having to have amputations and stuff, and a few people got frostbite, some had to lose a finger or whatever. Well, listen, people, they climb Mount Everest, they lose their toes, some of them have lost their nose and their lips. Why? That they chose that cause. Listen, you take sports, they tell you when the match or the game or event will be. And 90% of people want to watch it. Now, if they have to record it, they don't want you giving them a, what do they call it now, spoiler alert. They don't want to know. Why? Because they determine it. Or you can record it. But what does anything sports, for example, cause you to do? What about entertainment? What does entertainment cause you to do? What does video games, music, events, social stuff cause you to do? What does the fashion of others cause you to do? The Bible that you and I believe must give us our causes. And we must beware of our preferred doctrines. Listen, something is not so because a certain person taught it. Because Doc taught it doesn't make it so. And there is a disease running through Bible believers today that they don't even hardly quote the scriptures as much as they quote the one who taught it. Listen, if it's a clear teaching, no man will be the only one who taught it. And there won't be just a handful of men teaching it if it's a clear teaching. If it's a consideration, you should have enough character to tell people this might be so. That's a consideration. A conjecture is something that, well, I have no idea, you know. I mean, it's out there, but it might. You're not supposed to be going around measuring people by something that's your preferred doctrine. What do your hobbies cause you to do? What does your recreation cause you to do? What do your family events cause you to do? What do your politics cause you to do? What does your belief in the Constitution of the U.S. of A. cause you to do? What is your attitude towards justice? Listen, it's blah, blah, blah. I could go on forever. Choose your causes carefully. Now, you say, well, what causes? And that brings me to say the second thing is there are core and commanded causes. And those are ours to follow. There are core and commanded causes. I've quoted to you the one about marriage. "For this cause shall a man leave and cleave." You know, there's things that must be done at marriage. They must be done if you're going to be a Bible believer. And they have to do with your family. Both sides of the family. And if there's a curse that flows through all over the world, and there's different aspects of it, you take right here in the U.S. of A., it's this thing of people not saying, listen, this is a core cause and commandment. We are to set up our home. That doesn't mean you don't listen and this and that, but hear me out. A husband, a wife, a child, a brother, a sister, a father, a mother, a neighbor, a church member, a pastor, a teacher, a fellow laborer, you should sit down and write out each one of the specific commands and core causes that God has given you. The fours. Do this for that. For this cause. Because of this. It's really important. It is shameful, my friend, that the world is more careful with their core beliefs and their causes than the child of God is. Amongst Bible believers, I would say this. Some of the core causes and commandments are being neglected in favor of some fantastic or some divisive truth. Now, I believe a lot of different things, but I'm going to keep them divided into clear teachings and consideration conjectures, and I'm going to treat them as such because that's the path God put out for each of us. Now, picture, the castle in the old days, and then they had the moat around it, and then outside further they'd have the walls around it, and further out, okay? Those are things God set up. For example, come to Genesis chapter 39. This is just a little example, but I've thought so many times about Joseph here, and the example God gives us of his layers of protection against doing God and man wrong. We learn our core and commanded causes. And the reason we do is so that we can follow God. Look at Genesis 39, and you'll remember some of his story, okay? In verse 7 of Genesis 39, it came to pass after these things that his master's wife, this is Joseph, his master is the one he's serving who bought him out off the slave block, that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, said, "Lie with me." She wants to have relations with him. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master, what if not is with me in the house, and he hath committed all the hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Do you see what his cause was? His cause wasn't how he felt about it. His cause wasn't even trying to keep her from getting cross with him, because she gets so cross with him, she gets him put back in prison. The Lord and his master were his cause. That was his core and commanded cause, was faithfulness to that. That is so powerful for us. If you're not careful, parents, you use the wrong kind of power or force or influence with your children. And I got to tell you this, you parents and grandparents, young people see right through the facade that many people use, parents and grandparents use. They see right through into your hypocrisy, and that's why, no, you're never going to be perfect, but you need to make sure you're not presenting them with examples that contradict the very principle and truth that you're trying to impose and impress upon them. Learn those commanded causes. See, it's so important for us to understand that some simple words in our Bible, and when you become aware of them, you start looking for these simple words and these simple phrases. For example, in 1 Corinthians 11, and he's dealing with being a follower of him and the ordinances, and he says in verse 10, "For this cause ought the woman to have power in her head because of the angels." Now, we don't have to get anything past clear teaching to know that there's obviously something here that God says, I have a protective principle here. So the woman ought to have power on her head. Someone says, well, that's absolutely the length of hair. It doesn't say that, okay? But it does say that there should be, in the woman's mind and practice, an authority and a chain of command for her sake. Now, I believe this. There's no clear teaching contradicted here. He said that he goeth about, 1 Peter 5, the devil goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom, you ought to mark this little word, whom he may devour. The devil could not get through the hedge to Job until God said, you may. And then he could only go as far into the hedge as God said he may. I was growing up, I'd say to my granddad, can I go do this? He'd say, well, I imagine you could. But I think your question is, may you go do it? And he got that thing pounded into me that to this day, most of the time, if I'm at a drive-thru, they'll say, what do you want? I'll say, may I have a hamburger or may I have this? And they're like, sort of put back a little bit. Well, yeah, you may. It's just a habit. You know, it gets put into you, may I? Well, that may I is a circle of protection. In that same chapter, I'm just giving you a few examples. We're not going to exhaust them. But in that chapter, okay, he tells us, as often as you eat this bread, drink this cup, verse 26, you do show the Lord's death till he come. And then he says, verse 29, he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Not talking about going to hell, but he says in verse 30, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. He said it, I didn't. That's not something to go beating somebody over the head with, but I'll tell you what, that's a core commanded cause for this cause. The right causes, they serve like circles of armor and protection and keep us in as well as keep the enemy out. God himself made those layers. And it's good for us throughout the day to think about what's causing us to do what we do. What are we serving? What are we doing? Why? What's the cause? Over in Exodus 21:5, the servant whose time was up could go free. Or he could say, Exodus 21:5, I love my master, my wife, my children. And he would let him bore his ear through at the door, and then he was permanently a servant. You know, most of the time, like say at work, it's enough most of the time to think of a simple and immediate cause, such as, for example, keeping your job. But with a little bit of growth in Christ, what happens is when you're on the job, you're in the community, you're even by yourself, what becomes a cause is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that brings us to say the third thing, causes that manifest Christ. Come to 2 Corinthians 4, please. 2 Corinthians 4. This is where we'll spend most of the what little bit of time we're going to use left. 2 Corinthians 4. Now watch. And let me say this. You might need some outer circles, okay? But you must put in stronger. Put them in with stronger, closer ones. It's good to have layers of circles, of reasons why you do things. But at the core is the Lord and the causes, the core causes, the commanded causes he put on us. But number three, the causes that manifest Christ. So, choose your causes carefully. Your core and commanded causes are to be followed. But thirdly, causes that manifest Christ. There are things that should motivate us and have a cause and effect in our life. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm going to just put this one passage in. There are so many, okay? But think about this wording, okay? Pick it up with me. Verse 12, verse 11. For we which live are alway delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus, look, might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. Verse 16, would you please mark this? For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. As that fellow was trying to recuperate from that, it's going to take months of it for him to recuperate. The thought that kept coming back was the gospel that went out, the encouragement that was preached and taught, and for this cause, we faint not. What cause? Well, look at it. He said, for their sake and for the glory of God. But though our outward man perish, and sometimes, I mean, if it cost anybody, it cost the Apostle Paul. If it cost anybody, it cost missionaries and leaders and people to serve God. But look, though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, it's a vapor, and our life passes, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen. Not at those causes I mentioned earlier. All the other stuff that get us to do things or move us or tempt you. Not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For which cause? Our body must not dictate to us. It must not. Growing old must not be any excuse. It should rather, the older you get, the more Christ should be manifested in you. What is this cause? It's others in the faith. It's the glory of God. Verse 12, death in us brings life in others. John 12, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it fall in the ground and die, it bringeth forth fruit. Causes that manifest Christ. Hallelujah. What greater cause could there be? Now, right now, now. Your life isn't lived where people see all this. Neither was the Apostle Paul's life lived that way. We know things after the fact, just like we know about his life after the fact and as it was chronicled. And so too will be your life and my life known someday. There was a time of deep trial, and it wasn't the only one, but there was a time of deep trial when someone sent me a verse. And it was such a timely thing. It was just a little card folded over with this verse written out. And that's all it said was this verse. And I'm going to read it to you. Write down the reference. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. Listen, obscurity in this life is not a prophecy, except that the next life is going to be the opposite of it. Obscurity guarantees that God is going to speak about it. I remember that thing being sent to me in a time after years of labor that it seemed those labors were of no value to others, but they were to God. And my encouragement today, my admonition today, is connect life to your life, your daily life, to God's causes. Don't try to read the outcome in this life. Therefore, choose your causes carefully. Take the core and commanded causes and be aware of them and write them down and revisit them constantly. And then, let the causes that are in your life, the things that motivate you, let it manifest Jesus Christ. For which cause we faint not, though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Father, I pray you take these simple thoughts, so simple. Been a help to me. Others who have lived it have been a help to me. I pray they would be helped to someone. In Jesus' name, amen. God be with you.